So the Daily Create is a daily challenge. It could be writing, photography, audio, video.
Okay.
And it's at, if you just Google the Daily
Create. Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
But the URL,
my name is John Johnson, and this is the DS106 Good Spell, a podcast radio show looking at the open online course, DS106, from the angle and through the filter of psychologist and psychiatrist Mariana Funes's 106 bullet points, 106 bullet points written at or posted on our DS106 Tumblr site at 1:06 a.m. after the headless DS106 course. Good evening, Mariana.
Hello, John. Good evening. We are both a little out of breath because we've been rushing around for our Sunday, and then had to come back for our million listeners.
Yeah. So, million listeners, if you're out there, we're here with the skin of our teeth. How are you tonight, Mariana? You all right and ready to go?
Yes, ready to go, and looking forward to our conversation today.
Okay, and the title or the bullet point we're looking at is Yes and Creates Community, Yes But Breaks It.
Yes, and then
expand that.
And then I expanded that because this today we're kind of including two of them. The kind of the next one after that is Don't Be a Snark, because I think this comes from, I think Gardner Campbell talked about this, and he was referring to to this and to some of the Wikipedia behavioral guidelines, talking about how do you build community and what are some of the things that you need to think about in terms of how people interact in order to get people working together. Well, so there we go. So we are talking about this mystical thing of how does DS106 create community?
And
how shall we answer that?
I'm not sure, but it's a really interesting question. Over the last 6 months or so, I've been talking to a variety of people involved in online education, from people doing the Open University to people running MOOCs. And one of the real difficulties, I think, in open online education, when you're trying to scale something or trying to run something, is to get to the point where you've got a sense of community among your learners. It's not because we're not all in the one room. We don't meet each other. We can't have coffee together. And sometimes you're not even there at the same time or even awake at the same time. So if we could solve that, if we could extract, because I think DS106 does this pretty well, if we could sort of extract that, bottle it, we could make our fortune selling it to LMSs all around the world.
Well, I would say that if you widen the conversation from an online learning learning setting, and you think about just how do you get a group of people, a group of students, to work together in a learning context, there is a great deal in educational research that shows us what to do and how to do it. I think what happens is that, particularly when we're talking about the context of the open online learning, is that we have much less control about the kind of environment that we set up. On the one hand, that is a great plus because it means we have a great deal of freedom about how we learn, what we learn, who we learn with, what time we learn, etc. On the other side is that it becomes very difficult to outline. So how do you make it work? What is acceptable behavior? What isn't acceptable behavior? How do you set things up in such a way that it encourages people learning together? My sense of DS106 and what you hear people like Alan and Jim and others talk about a lot is that, as they see it, the key thing is role modeling behavior. And I think that that is why, you know, when you look outside of the S106, people are a bit uncertain about, well, you know, where's the list? Where is the list of guidelines of how we do it? And there isn't such a thing for us in the S106. But what there is this sense of, you know, presence of the people that, you know, I guess the people like Jim, people like Alan, who role model what is, you know, what do you do to build community? Well, you know, you have to be present for people and treat people like human beings. And at one level, it's very simple.
They've both got in their own ways a really nice way of engaging with people that is not. They seem to have endless energy for commenting on people's work in a way that isn't just, oh, this is okay, you know, your sort of average blog comment, which is basically me too. They always kind of drag things a wee bit further or push people to go a wee bit further if they needed, and take people off in different directions, or very often do, and I think that's an interesting thing, and it's, I think, quite difficult to do.
Yes, it's difficult. So two things I would say. Yes, it's difficult if you're trying to do it as a recipe, or if you're trying to do it as I just need to do, you know, four comments, get them out of the way so that I can get on with my day job. Mm-hmm. What was his name or her name on this blog post anyway? Let me just scan and see if I can pretend to say something meaningful. That's one way, and a lot of people, I think, kind of are looking for the easy recipe. And my sense of what we do, certainly what I've seen role modeled and I have appreciated, is that we as students, if you will, we are not treated in that way. We are treated in a way that says, you know, John is John, Mariana is Mariana, and we kind of know who they are, and they exist in my life in the same way as other people do, not just as a job to do. And that, I think, is that thing that, you know, Alan talks about often when he, you know, he uses the idea of being there, you know, that thing of, you know, actually it's difficult because often people do not give it the time it takes to treat your online students in the same way as you would the people that you've got in front of you in a classroom. And I see that, of course, you know, you see that outside as well.
It reminds me very much from what Dylan Williams, who is a sort of guru of formative assessment in education, and sort of greatly listened to in Scottish primary education, who talks about marking, when you're marking a pupil's work, and they did various bits of research, and if you go through, say, an essay and you give lots of real good feedback about improving different sections and doing this and doing that, or pointing out mistakes or better ways to do something or anything like that, but at the end you go 6 out of 10 or 10 out of 10, the feedback doesn't have the same effect. Because in general, people just look at the mark.
Yes. Of course, I've read some of the yes.
Yeah, and when you
don't look at the content of what you're trying to say. Yeah.
And when you are marking a big bunch of jotters as a teacher, it's very easy to fall into the habit of trying to get through these and just, you know, hit the marks at the end. And you really need to stop yourself, and sometimes marking less is almost a better thing. You know, you go through a piece of work and you don't pick up every single spell mistake in a piece of writing, but you concentrate on one thing and you don't give it a mark at the end. You get encouraged pupils to look at it. I think that sort of fits in.
Yeah, you raise an important point though, don't you, in that, because what you raise is the point that certainly as open participants, the kind of how do we build community is partly to do with, I mean, everything we do is formative. you know, everything that we do, you know, doesn't have a mark at the end, because we are not there for a qualification, we are not there for a requirement. And actually, that is a very significant difference.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter if there isn't a mark for me in DS-106, there's just a series of conversations, which is maybe why...
Having said that, you know, the Y106 people who are there for a mark and now there for a qualification, you know, they've built their own kind of, you know, sub-community, if you will, within the bigger picture of DS-106. And part of what, you know, and they're using Twitter, they're using all of these things. And in their case, you know, yes, they are getting a mark and it is a requirement. They have to do so many daily creates. They have to do, you know, all of this. But you do still get the sense of there is something beyond just getting through the course or getting the mark. How that's done, I suppose, is the question. But the essence of this bullet point was that, you know, one thing that I did notice a lot in the people that have been around DS-106 for a long time, I guess I'm one of those now.
Old lag.
That's right, is this idea that, you know, in your commenting, in how we talk to each other, in our collaborative work when we do our radio shows, or, you know, this kind of thing, or when we did them in the Headless 13, there is always that sense of building, which is what I meant when I said about the yes and. So you're doing this thing and here is something else that you could do. And if you think about, you know, Martha's comments,
hello? Mariana, are you back?
Yes, I think I went away.
We lost you for a wee second through there. I'm just going to take a slight break to mention, to just say hello to Rochelle, who is listening after...
Hello, Rochelle!
...finding us, because when I started Nicecast up, unfortunately, I've been broadcasting on the wrong URL. I stuck it out on Twitter after I discovered that, but rather than stop and start, we're now broadcasting tonight on edutalk.cc/listen due to the usual Nicecast incompetence in my part.
Lovely.
Yeah, but I say Rochelle found us, so...
brilliant. Oh, that's good.
I'm guessing not many other people will, but it'll make a lovely archive anyway.
That's funny. So I was thinking about the yes and how, you know, so much of what's modeled is this idea of building on the sort of, you know, you've done this thing and you could do this other thing and you could do this other thing. So that in some sense creates a safe space for experimenting and for, you know, it helps you build a sense of community because people are making positive suggestions about what you could do. Whereas if you go, actually what you did is rubbish, you know, so it's the yes but thing, you know, you've done that thing but do this instead, you know, it sort of ends up, you know, breaking things up, and so there is something about you know, that sense of building. And also interestingly, there is a kind of encouragement, certainly I remember at the beginning, that, you know, if you were going to comment or make suggestions or give feedback for people to do things, that you showed them. So, you know, and I know certainly in Google Plus we've done that, where, you know, I have posted things where I've gone, I have no idea how to do this. And somebody would go, I'll take the file and see what I can do. And then, you know, so they mess around with the file fix and they go, this is what I did, try this. And that sort of, you know, that is a kind of building together, isn't it? That
Certainly. I think what you're trying to get to is the difference between those two wee words, and but. And I hadn't really thought of it, but there's not that much difference, you know. But there's a big difference, if you know what I mean. And it's just maybe keeping that in mind when you're talking to people online and being aware that. you can help somebody just as easily as you can criticise them if you just move the tone of the conversation a wee bit.
I have to say, though, that, you know, it's one thing, and this is me always looking at the other side, whether that's helpful or not, I don't know, but, you know, I have to say that, you know, I have heard people say that they find it at the start, at the beginning, when they start to look at the VS106 hashtag on Twitter, say, that they do find it quite difficult to jump in. And to find, you know, where or how could they become a member of the community.
Yeah.
So there is a way in which, you know, I suppose it does exclude at the start, because there isn't a kind of Wikipedia page that says, here is a list of behavioral guidelines, you know, of how you do it and what you do it. So, you know, it does... I do wonder sometimes about the people that, you know, that just jump in. I'm here talking to a talking doll. I'm visiting her blog and leaving a voicemail for her.
Yeah, I think that there is something almost opaque when you start to look at DS106, but it's well worth pushing past that opacity. And I think you could, if you actually start looking at blog posts rather than just the Twitter, you can see people describing what they do and providing tutorials and things like that, which is quite an interesting bit.
I remember when I first started, you know, this was one thing that, you know, I tried to go back and look at so that I could build a sense for the DS106 narrative. So what is the story? What's happened? You know, what are these jokes about Toki Tina? You know, what is this and what is that? And I kind of went looking, because of course the stuff is there, to try and build a sense for what had gone on before. And that did help.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of history now in DS106 and an awful lot of different components. Talking of one component, just as a wee experiment, since we want to experiment tonight, I'm just going to start running some audio behind what we're saying here, hopefully coming out of SoundCloud, and it's the collection in SoundCloud that is for the Daily Create DDC 993, and you've been the engine behind the Daily Create
for a bit, yes,
for a wee while. And I wondered if we could maybe spend a bit of time talking about that.
Sure. The one that if it's playing, maybe Rochelle will let us know if she can hear noises in the background.
Yeah.
I think it was called Noise Pollution. It was one that came through today or yesterday. Anyway, this sort of last few days, and people have done just a lovely job, because you know, there's all sorts of different sounds, you know, and some of it is very calm, and like Rochelle, for example, you know, she did a Daily Create, you know, the idea of it was that you had to record your kind of ambient noise, whatever it was. Mm. The noise that was going on around you, I think, in the middle of your day. I think that was the kind of prompt. And there's such difference, you know, in terms of all people's different environments. You know, the sort of calm of, you know, somebody's garden, and then, you know, lots of noise somewhere else. And I must mention, I don't know if we'll get to play it, Andrew Forgraves, he called his... a meta Daily Create, because apparently this is the story. He was at Burger King having his breakfast. I want to say, I'm not sure. And somebody saw him on the computer and asked him, you know, what was the Daily Create? So his Daily Create is him at Burger King describing to a stranger what the Daily Create is, and showing him, I suppose.
Right.
That was so funny.
Yeah, I think we'll get to that one in a wee second. I actually recorded a sound for that, but I didn't post it because at the point, it said in the middle of the day. In the middle of the day, I was out for a walk with my wife, and the only thing I could hear was her feet very quietly crunching on some gravel. And it just seemed, I thought I was going to get, it was a buzzard calling just before it, and I thought I was going to get that in as well, but unfortunately, nothing happened. So anyway, here's Andrew's. I'm just going to play Andrew's Daily Create now.
So the Daily Create is a daily challenge. It could be writing, photography, audio, video. And it's at, if you just Google the Daily Create, you can find it. But the URL is tdc.ds106.us. It's out of a digital storytelling course from the University of Mary Washington down in the States. And so anyway, today's Daily Create is to create an audio recording of your ambient sound wherever you are. So this is the ambient environment in the Burger King in Whitby. And that's the Daily Create for today.
So that was Andrew explaining. Ooh, and this is me playing a waterfall now, which I'm guessing will be going over everybody because it's a really loud one. I'm just going to turn the gain down in that a wee bit. Hopefully that's quietened it down a little. I think our audience will be leaving for the bathroom anytime soon. I'll pause that now. So as I say, you've been organising the Daily Create, Mariana, and
bringing, you know, connecting the two things in terms of, you know, the kind of building community, the yes and you know how is it done in terms of, you know, the kind of our behaviour in the context of the S106. One of the other things that you hear a lot of people within the S106 talk about is this notion of events and creating events, you know, so that there are things that we do together. So we're not talking about building community, we're doing stuff. And in the process of doing stuff, somehow something happened that is often not talked about explicitly. And the Daily Create, I think, is an example of that, because the sort of history of it, I think, is always is interesting. You know, the idea that it existed as something else, that somebody else was providing, the daily shoot, it closed down. DS106 wanted it because it was something helpful, and then you know, Timmy boy and Alan built one, didn't they? So that's how the Daily Create started, and then it became this thing that, you know, everybody can contribute to, and you know, anybody can add to. So, you know, I think the Daily Create is a great example of, you know, so if you ask the question, you know, how do we in the S106 build community and what do we do to encourage it? It is quite a lot through this creating events that we do together, like the gift fight that Michael Vanson Smith and others, you know, do, and we do that. Like our radio shows that, you know, we do, you know, in a collaborative thing.
Yeah, that's, I mean, one of the interesting things is that it kind of grows and grows. Here we are, I think, about 14 shows into a podcast series that's come off of DS106. You mentioned the gift fight and other things that have just sprung up and get continued. And you get people like Andrew, who I think has been around DS106 for a very long time, still very actively involved. And that's really interesting, because I don't think there's many people drop back to school to join their classes or things like that. We seem to have actually, or DS106 seems to manage to build a community that goes on and lasts.
I wonder if that is in some way related to the fact that, say, you know, when we go through our first run, whatever it might be, that we contribute to it actively, and maybe we follow a program, as it were, you know, sort of week by week, that maybe when that experience is so powerful, so positive, you know, all of the things that I'm sure you and I can say and others might say about their first DS106 experience, and generally it is when it's attached to a course that, you know, so it's an event or a theme or something. Mm-hmm. I wonder if then it means, because we have such a positive experience, we then want to keep on working with it and maintaining it and contributing to it. Certainly that seems to be the case with Andrew. I'd say it's the case with me. I don't know whether that is the case with you.
Yeah, I just keep on finding strange and interesting things to follow up and learn from it. And I think it's the way that things just bounce around. And it can take you all sorts of just unintended places. And I think everybody goes off into their own sometimes obscure directions, and it swings back and comes round again. Sometimes I've put something on the same idea as 106 blog and thought, oh, that's really interesting, everybody's going to love that, and there is an earthly silence. And then you do something else and think, oh well, let's move on from that, and people are really interested in it. So that's always it's kind of exciting, and there's a lot of serendipity involved.
But isn't it interesting to think about, you know, how is it that, you know, we make it okay, you know, so there is something, isn't it, about the quality of interaction that happens that enables us to, you know, to go through our own path. So we find this is interesting, we do some of that, and we come back. And somehow we've managed somehow to create a space where really you can have the freedom to explore whatever it is that you want to explore and throw it in the pot and feel okay to do that. It is, you know,
yeah, it's a unique environment, I think. You feel as if it, just say blogging generally, you're throwing you're casting your net or something like that just out at random in the ocean. But I think with DS106 you've always got the idea that you're sort of floating along with a bunch of other people, and you might not always connect with people, but there does seem to be something that pulls you back and brings you in and connects and stuff.
Catherine Cronin, in her keynote speech that she did recently, she mentioned this, and she talked about how giving people what she called the kind of safety of a hashtag, and actually have them experiment in the wider context of the open web, to have a presence online, to learn about, you know, that your kind of personal cyber infrastructure, which, you know, is the thing that we do in DS106, underlying the storytelling. Catherine said, you know, that the sort of a safe hashtag to be with, as it were, does offer something that is quite unique. And I guess, you know, clearly not all hashtags have been created equal.
Yeah, but we've got some good ones. I think that's the secret.
There you go. So there's the secret: finding the right hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag the right group, and we maybe still don't really know how to make it, but I think certainly we're circling some ideas.
Well, interesting. I mean, I'm just noticing Rochelle tweeted about the Bergeron 106, and, you know, the kind of how that got started. Mm-hmm. And that was our summer, the S106, that the open online participants kind of created. And that started from a throwaway comment in the kind of way that you're describing, with Todd Conway just throwing out there, oh, I quite fancy doing something so that we can all do it together in one WordPress blog. Anybody interested? He started one, and, you know, somehow it grew into something. Different people contributed at different times. You know, the whole thing kind of evolved, changed over the summer. It was never formally structured beyond we each contributed what we felt we could. After somebody threw an idea out in the open and said, you know, anybody interested? So, you know, there is a website that exists that has a kind of a full story around this fictional family out in the sticks in Arizona. I think I can't even remember. There's so many things that happened. There were aliens, and there were all sorts of things going on. Time travel, time cycles, all sorts. So you know, the location of the family was really quite incidental. But how we did it, you know, it's difficult to know, really.
Yeah, well, that's it. That if we can find out, if we can bottle it, we can probably make some money. But
and there you go. We'll be poor for a while because we clearly haven't found the magic formula.
Maybe next week, Mariana.
Maybe next week.
It's probably about time to hang up the mic. So I think I'll just play out with another wee bumper here, and we will speak to everybody. I hope maybe even more people if I get the right direction to point the podcast in the right direction next week. We might even get more people. We had quite a good audience last week. Anyway.
Yes.
Folks, if you're listening, thanks for listening. If you listen to the podcast, thanks. You can always get in touch with us. We'll pile some links into the show notes, which will be up on edutalk.cc fairly soon. And here's just a wee bumper playing out from Vivian.
Good spell. We're John and Mariana. Good spell. They're tough and honor, and it's everything you wanted to know. Tune into the DS106 radio show. Intellectual conversation, the leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet, so go and give them a tweet. The DS106 Good Spell Show.